All right, hello and welcome to I've Gotta Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation, a podcast within a podcast about my one-year journey to try to watch 1997's Mortal Kombat Annihilation every day for a year. I am Chris Haley. I am your host. I am the one who is subjecting myself to this horrible thing where I watch this awful movie every day and then once a week I talk to someone about it. This week, I am talking to Lynn.
Hi.
That's correct. That's where you can say hello. And Lynn, you were the first person that I have talked to for I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation via the internet. Everyone else that I've done this with so far has been, you know, sitting right in front of me.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. And also, I should point out, well, I'll get into that. First, why don't you introduce yourself to people? And to borrow a phrase from someone else who is on the show, explain to people why you are such a special and unique snowflake.
That's a really hard thing to answer. I don't think anybody's really that special or unique.
Well, you better come up with something because you have to introduce yourself to people.
I'm a freelance illustrator. I live in Seattle. I know you through Chaz, I think.
Right? Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah. I don't really.
You don't have anything special about you that you want people to know about?
Not really.
Okay.
Really not that interesting. Are you sure you want me on your show? It'll probably be really bad.
No, well, here's the deal. The reason that I wanted to have you on the show, like I had you kind of scheduled in my mind to be on the show from the beginning, was the fact that I think that you were the person online who seemed the most against me doing this.
Yeah, it's because it's a terrible movie.
It is a terrible movie.
You're doing it for a year. You're like on 84 or 5 now?
Yeah, something like that. 84, I think, today.
Yeah, that's too much.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, it's, you know, I'm too far to turn back now. If I was going to stop, it would have had to have been like, you know, in the 20s or something, I think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here I am. But yeah, you were the person who it seemed like had the most really just vitriolic, stop, why are you doing this? Don't do this response. And now that I've got you here, I've got a chance to ask why it, you know, I mean, a lot of people were like, this, you shouldn't do this. But you were like, those early nights when I started doing it, you know, in the first like 10 or 20 nights, it seemed like you were very much the person who was most against me doing this. Just, and I was wondering, do you have something especially against this movie? How did this movie hurt you?
I saw it when I was young.
Okay.
Came out in 1997, so I was like really little. It's just not good. And you're watching it every day for a year.
Yeah.
Aren't you bored?
Oh, it's, yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely miserable sometimes watching it. Something that has been kind of a, I will say the one thing it has going for it is that it's not very long. It's only like about an hour and 20 minutes. So thankful, I mean, it certainly feels longer than that, but thankfully, thankfully it's not, you know, like a 2 hour movie or something. It's not even like an hour and a half, you know, barely counts as movie length, I think. But well, so what was your, what made you see it when you were so young? What's your history with Mortal Kombat?
My brother and I were super into gaming and stuff when we were younger. My dad introduced us to it. So we would actually play the Mortal Kombat games. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, a game movie's coming out. We should watch it. And it's why.
Did you see the first one?
Yeah, I've seen all of them.
Okay. I mean, did you see the first one when it came out or it's just you've seen it since then?
I've just seen it since then.
Okay. Well, did you like the first one?
I remember it being a lot better than this.
Yeah. I mean, the first one does at least feel like a movie.
Yeah. Not just something slapped together with terrible special effects.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the thing, though, you know, is that it's that aspect of it that it's like this movie is kind of, you know, the first one seemed like a real movie and this one has an even bigger budget. And yet it seems so cheap in places and so like just thrown together. And I think that was part of what made me want to like watch it again initially was to try to go like, I'm kind of, you know, cause I was like, I'm kind of baffled by how crappy this is when the first one was like in my memory at least, is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, forever since I saw it. But at some point I will watch it again for this to try to like go, maybe it's not as good as I thought it was. But at least, you know, when they show, it's like, I've said this before on here, but when they show flashbacks from what happened in the first movie and they show scenes from the first movie, you go, oh yeah, that looks like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the, you know, the way it looks and the cinematography, it kind of, it looks like a movie, like a real movie. And then there's parts of this that just look like, you know, Power Rangers or something.
This is like the third movie, right?
No, it's the second one.
The second one?
It's the second of two.
Okay.
Let's put an end to it. There have been, there's been like, I think there was a TV series, there was a cartoon, and then there was, I think there was a TV series and then like a web series maybe.
I don't think I saw any of that other stuff.
Yeah, I don't think most people did. But so were you into the Mortal Kombat games?
Mm-hmm.
Like big time?
No. As far as like fighting games went, we were more into Tekken.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask if you were more into Street Fighter, but okay.
Yeah.
I know that there's a subsection of the fighting game fans who are Tekken as their thing. Why Tekken?
What did Tekken offer? I like the characters more, I think. You could play as like a giant bear or a kangaroo.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat are really missing out on the play as animals mm-hmm. option. But you're still real big into video games.
Yeah, I play them like every day.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
What are you playing right now? Not literally right now, but I mean, what's big at your place in the last week?
I've been playing a lot of Dark Souls 3 and Bloodborne.
Okay. How are those?
They are very good. Have you played any of them?
No.
Yeah, they're supposed to be like really difficult, but I feel like since they want more people to get into them, they're not as hard anymore.
Okay. I remember seeing stuff online about, I have watched people play both of those games, but I have not played them myself. I am not so good at video games. Like modern video games. I still play video games, but it's like ones where it's like, I'm trying to think what I would describe as the kind of video games I am especially not good at. Anything first person,
mm-hmm.
Games with shooting.
So first person shooters.
Yeah. I assume there's some first person other things though, right? There's probably some like first person, just joggers or like first person
jogging sim.
Yeah. First person eating competition games. I stream games on Twitch for a children's hospital charity with my friend Zach, who was the first guest on this show.
Yeah. I think you mentioned that to me when I had asked you about it.
Yeah. We do that. Occasionally and often we'll play these games that I am terrible at, and it's usually stuff where there's like a lot of shooting or there's just games where there's like a lot of stuff happening at once.
Yeah.
I'm bad at it. I could get better at it, I guess, but I just don't put the time in to, because they're not very fun for me. I think what it's basically like, so when GoldenEye came out for Nintendo 64, like I think the weekend or whatever it came out, I was out that where when all of my friends got it, I was out of town. And so then when I came back to town from having been wherever I was and everybody had already learned how to play it, I never caught up.
Oh, so you're just behind in skill.
Yeah. It's like when you miss you miss the first day of school and then you're never able to catch mm-hmm. up. Everybody else already understood what they were supposed to be doing in a first person shooter game. And then I came in to try to play with my friends and everybody else knew what they were doing. And I didn't know what I was doing. And I was like, okay, these aren't for me. I'll just quit, guys. Let me know when you're ready to play Mario Tennis again. When we switch out GoldenEye for a wrestling game or, you know, Mario Kart, or I guess Mario games is mostly what I like.
Yeah.
Mario games and Disney Infinity, games that are wrestling games, just games that are fun, games with less murder.
Yeah, those seem to be more creative also.
Yeah. But I do like, I say that, and I did play what is it, Injustice, which is basically Mortal Kombat, but with comic characters. I beat that. So, you know, I guess I'll handle some murder. I guess I just can't handle when there's like a lot of stuff going on that I don't, yeah. I feel like I don't know what's happening. This is completely off topic of the movie though. So I'll try to veer back to that. So Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3. What else? What are some of your favorite games all time?
Last of Us is really good if you're into like survival horror games. Yeah. It has really a really good story.
I was really into the comic of that game, and I thought the game looked neat, but I was like, I don't know if I could play it, but I would be happy to watch someone play it.
Yeah, it's good. It's third person, so you might actually have a chance.
I'll have to pick it up. I'm sure I can get it pretty cheap by this point.
Yeah, it's been out for a while. You can also get it remastered for the PlayStation 4.
I should get one of those too, I guess, at some point.
Yeah.
The last system I got was the Wii U, so, and I was like, this is fine. I don't need my PlayStation 3 still works great, so I don't need a PlayStation 4.
Well, it's also on PlayStation 3, so there you go.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure I could probably go pick it up from somewhere. I think the last like real game like that I played on, I can't even think of what it was. I rented some game from the Redbox that was like one of those first person walk around kill people games. And I can't even remember what it was, but I was like, oh, let me try this one out. I heard good things. Let me try this one out. And like, I played it for, you know, a couple hours and I was like, this is boring.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm bad at it. It seemed boring. Maybe if I was like really good at it, it would have seemed much more exciting. It was something set in the past, but it wasn't like an Assassin's Creed game, but it had that kind of feel.
It was first person.
My memory of it was that it was first person. I feel like I just remember seeing the guy's arms kind of out in front, but maybe it was actually kind of...
Maybe Bioshock Infinite?
I played a little of that, and that game also seemed really neat. There's some games where I was like, yeah, I played that. And then when I really think about it, I go,
play that.
Yeah, no, I just sat next to someone while they were playing it and was like, oh, do this. what's funny about that we're getting into all of this too is kind of funny because today I was actually supposed to record an episode of my regular show with someone else that was going to be about video, just be all about video games. But now, so maybe that's why my brain was already kind of thinking about all of this stuff about like, oh, this is the stuff I want to talk about with video games.
I don't mind.
Yeah. I mean, and you're into video games. I think when I think of you, the first thing I kind of think of is it's sort of in relation to video games, if that makes sense.
Is it because username is Nintendo related?
That could have something to do with it. But you also do, you're always doing art that is video game related.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a great artist. People should know that. Okay. I'd say that's something that makes you a unique and special snowflake. And you like to rub food all over your face, apparently. I learned
sometimes
on Twitter.
You just gotta. That picture looked awesome, right?
That picture looked so gross to me.
What? No.
That picture looked. It was a picture of, what was it? It was cheesesteak,
tater tots. Smothered in cheese, and it looked so good.
It looked absolutely disgusting to me. Because I like cheesesteak and I like tater tots, but for some reason seeing them put together in that little cardboard receptacle just looked disgusting.
Maybe I'm just disgusting.
It could be that. Though talking about it is making me hungry. So maybe if I was hungry enough, my mood would change. Let me go ahead then. Now that we have got completely lost the thread of what this podcast is supposed to be about, let me get to the I've got to beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation questions. And you said you didn't play the drinking game while you watched the
I did not.
Right? And how many times have you seen this movie now?
I've seen it three times, twice this year because of you. So thanks.
Well, you're welcome. I'm amazed at how many people I have somehow duped into watching this movie. Not even for the show. Just people are going like, man, I got to see this. See if it's really as bad as it looks from all these things you're saying about it. Or people who have just listened to the show and then are like, I've got to know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Question number one. As best as you can, explain the plot of Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Is there a plot? Seriously. So it's about this guy Shao Kahn opens these portals, and I don't know the realms' names. He's basically trying to take over Earth.
Right.
I'm not sure the reason why.
Okay.
And then these group of mortals get together and like, hey, we need to stop him. And that's okay. Like the plot.
Okay.
Defeat the bad guy, save the world kind of stuff.
Okay. That's pretty fair, concise. I assume that's probably about what it says on the back of the box.
I don't know. I've never owned it.
I want to see like the back of the box. It just says, so there's this guy and it's Shao Kahn, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's like trying to do something. He's trying to open some portals or something. And and some mortals have to stop him, I guess. So yeah, that's about right. All right. Question number two. How many characters from this movie can you name?
I can actually name quite a few since I've played the games.
Okay, go for it.
There's Johnny Cage, Kitana, Liu Kang, Raiden, Sonya Blade, Sub-Zero. I don't think Reptile was in it.
No.
Scorpion, Cyrax, was one of the robots.
Right.
Jax.
Right.
Sindel.
Right.
I think that's all I can remember.
Okay, you're at 10.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't know.
I think the best we've had is someone named 16.
Damn.
Yeah. There's a couple I can think of that you missed, but I'd say that's very good. There's some people who could only name two. So
did I say Sonya? I think I did.
You did. You said Sonya. All right. Question number three. Did you like this movie?
Absolutely not. I will probably never watch it again after this.
Okay. You say that, but just wait.
No, I have no reason to. Three times in a lifetime is enough for anybody.
I think that I will say that I think that people have found that. Yeah, I guess basically everyone else that I've watched it with for the show, we have watched it together and then recorded the show. So some of the people had already seen it before, but for me at least, you know, having to watch it every day, it's certainly way more enjoyable with someone else. So I guess you and I should have like tried to watch it on Netflix, like at the same mm-hmm. time or something with, you know, with showgoers open or something, which I'm thinking about, I'd kind of like to start doing that. Like, have you seen this like showgoers thing
where
it's like, it's like an app for your browser basically where you can, one person can start watching a movie on Netflix. And if you've also got Netflix and you install this app for your browser, it's like, you can all watch it at the same time.
That's cool. Is it free?
Yeah, it's free. And there's like a little, maybe I should put a link to it in the show notes. And there's like a little chat window so you can all talk while you're watching it. But if somebody pauses it, it automatically pauses it for everybody. So everybody stays like synced up. I haven't got to try it out yet, but people have suggested that I do that and just have like group screenings for anyone that wants to come be a part of the madness. And I guess just so I don't have to be so alone
and suffering.
Yeah. So I think you might have had more fun maybe if you know, if there had been, I feel like this, the more people you have watching this movie, the more fun it becomes, because I've had a couple times where I've watched it with several people watching and it was like, oh, this is way more enjoyable. But yeah, just by yourself, it's a little miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Question number four, should people watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
I would say yes, if you haven't watched it. It's like one of those really bad B-rate movies that you watch to make fun of with other people, which is probably why it was more enjoyable.
Right.
Than alone.
All right. And question number five, should I keep doing this?
Well, like we said earlier, you're on day 84. It's a little late to stop. So you have to go till you're done or it kills you.
Yeah. If it beats me. Yeah. I guess dying will be the way that it beats me.
Yeah.
So now those are my questions. Now, did you have any thoughts or questions for me from while you watch? You said you had your pencil and paper handy as you were watching the movie. So do you have any thoughts or questions or anything you want to get off your chest about this movie?
Yeah. How do you feel about video games in general being turned into movies like this?
Well, being turned into movies like this, I don't think is a great idea. But you know, it's funny. I watched another kind of a movie that people kind of seem to universally think of as bad yesterday, right after I watched Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And that was the 1994 live action adaptation of The Flintstones.
I have not seen that.
Okay. Well, I saw it when I was a kid, like when it came out. And I remembered being, I didn't care for it much as a kid. I've always been like, you know, big into cartoons and stuff. And so I was excited to see it. And it was like, it was, I guess, the year after Jurassic Park. And they were like a lot of the same people that had worked on Jurassic Park doing the special effects and the dinosaurs and stuff were supposed to be working on Flintstones. So I was just excited also to see something else with dinosaurs, even though, you know, it was like much sillier kind of cartoony dinosaurs. But I watched that again yesterday, and I just remember kind of feeling like disappointed by it as a kid. But I saw that they were about to take, they put it up on Netflix, and then it's about to go off of Netflix at the end of this month. And I was like, you know, let me just watch that. Just to, I'll just put that on. And which, because apparently all I can watch is terrible movies now. But I watched it and I was like, this movie is not that bad at all. I actually enjoyed it. And I was like, you know, because it's, I don't know how good of a movie it is just on its own merits, but it is basically exactly like a long episode of The Flintstones. And so I kind of don't know what else you would want from a live action version of The Flintstones. And I promise this is getting back to a point about what you asked me. you know, because I was just kind of like, this has got everything that's in The Flintstones. So what would people be mad about with this movie? I mean, everything looks exactly like it's out of that show. The stuff is all, it's like, I guess if you'd never seen the Flintstones cartoon and didn't know what it was like and then saw that movie, you might go, oh, that movie was not very good. But if you've seen the Flintstones cartoon before and then saw that movie, I don't know how you could be upset at it. Because it's like, what did you expect? This is exactly like that cartoon. Which is kind of the exact opposite of what Mortal Kombat Annihilation is like. It's like this is a game about a fighting tournament, and now there's you're not having a fighting tournament. You're doing some kind of weird portal plot that you have to, you know. And you know, and it's the same deal like with the Super Mario Brothers movie, where it has absolutely nothing to do with Super Mario Brothers.
That's like one of the worst movies I have ever seen.
Oh my Lord. Yeah. I don't think I would be able to, I don't think I could make it through that movie for like this kind of challenge. It's like watching that movie, you know, 5 days in a row, I think I'd have to tap out.
That's pretty bad.
But and that's kind of the thing. It's like with both of these movies, you know, they were made kind of like around the same time. And it's that kind of, and they have kind of like a similar look. And there's like a number of video game movies that kind of came out there in the 90s. And they have something where all the ones that are basically that are bad and that don't seem like the games all kind of have the same kind of feel. There's like Double Dragon and, man, what else? There's others. The Street Fighter movie, like where they're all just like, what were you guys doing here? Like what? Like what? Why not just make a movie that's about whatever the hell it is you wanted to make a movie about? That's clearly nothing to do with that game. So if you can make a video game movie that is good and that has, you know, kind of captures what, you know, why people liked the game to start with, why the game was successful enough for them to want to make a movie of it, then great. But if you're just going to make something that's not at all like the game, then why bother? Just make something else.
Because it has the name on it and they can instantly make money from that, I guess.
Yeah. Have you played the Assassin's Creed games?
I only played Black Flag.
Okay. Did you like it?
It was okay for a while. And then it was just like, I don't know, something about that boat.
Well, have you seen the trailers for the movie?
I have not. I've seen the promotional images, but that's about it.
Okay. And that's one where I'm not familiar enough with the games to know if it like seems, you know, faithful. If because I've watched the trailer and the trailer looked kind of neat, but, and it also, there were parts of it where it kind of looked very video gamey, but not necessarily in a good way. I mean, it felt like that looks like something you'd see in a video game, but now we're watching a movie. And I don't mean like, oh, the, you know, sort of like the sets and stuff look like a video game. I mean, like the way the camera moved, there were things where it kind of looked like something out of a game. And I was like, well, that's that could weird. Be interesting. Yeah. I was like, that could be interesting, or it could be like, really, like, why would I watch this movie if it's just going to look exactly like the game, you know, look like I'm just playing the game. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. What about Warcraft? Did you play that?
I played it for like half an hour and got really bored.
Which what I was the show that I'm apparently I'm still going to do this, but what I was supposed to see today was me and a guest were supposed to go see Warcraft today, and then we were going to talk about it and just video games in general. And that's another movie that it doesn't seem like it, from what I can tell, it doesn't seem like they had any interest in making it about Warcraft. So you kind of go like, well, then why did you guys want to make a Warcraft movie? So I don't know. I'm curious to see. I mean, I've heard it get really bad reviews, but I've also heard some people say not bad things about it. So I'm very curious. And obviously, like, I don't mind seeing movies that are huge, awful train wrecks. So I'm kind of, I'm very curious to see how it turns out.
I just feel like there's way too much CGI.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some stuff where I'm just going like, would it have not been easier with some of these movies just to like actually go somewhere and shoot this? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if there've been any, can you think of any movies that you feel like are good video game adaptations?
The first Silent Hill movie is actually really true to the games, and it's probably one of my favorite movies.
Well, it's like not just video game, just one of your favorite movies, period.
Yeah. I love Silent Hill, and it's like, has the music from the first couple games in it. A lot of the monsters are reused. A lot of the themes are the same. It's basically like the game, just it's a really well-done movie.
That's cool. I've never seen it because the game, the first game, that was another one where I think I just watched somebody play it. It was really creepy, and I was like, the stuff that I saw for the movie just didn't look very good. I thought, you know, I was like, or I was just... maybe I just been kind of felt so burned on how bad so many of the video game movies have been, like the Resident Evil movies and stuff.
Yeah, those are like insanely not true to the games.
Yeah, but I will say those, I am kind of entertained by those Resident Evil games now that they've been out for long enough for me to know like, oh, they're kind of all just schlocky garbage. Yeah. Like I can kind of be entertained by how bad they are now, but like when that first one came out and I was really into Resident Evil and that first movie came out and I was like excited about it. And then I saw it and I was like, oh my God, this is not a very good movie at all.
And they just get progressively worse.
Yeah. Well, the first one I think was the only one that I actually even saw in the theaters. And I was just like the rest, I was like, oh, who cares? But then since then I've seen them. And I've been like, okay, I can appreciate just how terrible these are in a fun way. But yeah, I didn't end up going to see Silent Hill, I think, because I guess maybe it was like kind of after Resident Evil. I was like, oh, that's just going to be bad too.
Just give up.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Have there been any other good ones that stand out to you or just that you particularly like?
Not really. I mean, there was like Tomb Raider and stuff, which were not great.
Yeah, it seems so weird that there's been more than I, like, now that I'm thinking about it, there's more than, you know, people start naming ones off and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one. And I guess that's kind of the problem is that so many of them are ultimately so forgettable. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, some of them, the ones that are bad enough to be memorable are at least, you know, something. Because, you know, like, oh, well, we remember they exist at least. Or sometimes there'll be cool parts in one and you go, why didn't you make the whole movie sort of more like this? Like there's that scene in, have you seen Doom?
I have not.
Well, there's like a scene, there's like an uninterrupted first person, like kind of awesome first person shooter scene at the end of Doom. That's just, it's kind of amazing. And it goes on for a while. And it's just like, it's super badass. It's like, oh, okay, this is what I wanted to see. Or this is what I expected to see. You're not just like people talking about, oh, we've got to do this. And, oh, there's portals in that movie too. So,
Doom's weird.
Hey, there's portals in that Super Mario Brothers movie too. Maybe that's the thing. Are there any portals in Silent Hill?
No.
I was like, maybe they think all video game movies have to have portals. Well, and I think like some of the best video game movies I've ever seen were like in the Smash Brothers games, like the one on GameCube, like the cutscenes.
Oh, yeah.
I've always, like, since that one came out, I've just like, just put all of this together on a DVD and sell it to me. Just let me watch this like a movie. Put this
the Nintendo cutscenes.
Yeah, like just that's fine. Or, you know, you could put some extra little bits in there to kind of like bridge the gaps, mm-hmm. you know, that are when. And I was like, this would be an awesome movie. Why don't you do this? And I kind of wish. Well, I guess I was going to say, I wish that more of these video game movies would not do live action. It's like, do it animated. And I was like, why don't they do that more? And then I was like, oh, that's right. That Angry Birds video game. I mean, that Angry Birds movie
don't
just came
remind
out.
Me.
Did you see it?
No, I was in a theater. I don't remember what I was seeing, but an advertisement for that came out. I was like, please don't tell me this is a movie. It's like, how? How can you turn something like that into a full movie?
Yeah, but they sure did. I saw the trailer for that in a theater before something, and I was kind of horrified by the reaction that the rest of the audience was having.
They
you know, like,
it.
Yeah, just like laughing and just clearly enjoying themselves. I could tell that a lot of them couldn't wait to see it, and I was just like, wow. I mean, and not, if it's like little kids, fine, you know, mm-hmm. little kids can like whatever. Because little kids are dumb.
Yeah.
they don't know any better. Stuff is just all new and
it's cute and it's bright and animated. Why not? That's
fine. But when you hear like grown-ups laughing at some of that stuff, I was like, it's troublesome to me. It's worrying to me.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of my take on video game movies is don't do them unless they're going to be, unless you can make a decent movie. Oh man. Oh, I just remembered all those like movies that, what's his name? Uwe Boll made, like House of the Dead and, oh shoot, what else? He's made like a number of video game, terrible video game movies. What were some of your other questions, if you have more?
There was a part where Random was talking to, I think, Liu Kang and Sonya and stuff about having passage through the portals, and like his dad gave Shao Kahn a blessing or something, and they all have like matching tattoos. Why the hell did they turn into dragons after they were killed?
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm hoping that I got a copy of the novelization of the movie.
I saw it and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that that's gonna fill some. I'd like to. I'll put his link to his Twitter in the show notes, but I'd like to thank David for sending that to me. I'm very much looking forward to reading it. I feel like I need to like read passages from it on the show. Like I'll go through and like particularly good passages, then I'll do like a little reading corner here on the show for people to enjoy, since they're not all going to be reading it with me. Or that I should maybe put some kind of curse on the book where I mail it to someone after I finish reading it, and then they have to read it and then pass it on to someone else.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Spread the pain around, I guess.
It's going to take longer than an hour and a half to read that book.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I don't know. It's not like real thick. So I'm curious to see how long it takes me to read it. But part of me also kind of wants to
compare.
Well, like I want to, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but like take my time with it a little bit. Like just read it, not tear through it too quick. You know what I mean?
I guess if you want to savor something like that.
Yeah, savor is not the right word, but you know, just to kind of like go like really. Yeah, I don't know. There's a word I'm looking for and I can't think of it. So it just makes me sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So I am hoping that maybe that'll give me some answers. But yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I get that. Okay, those tattoos are supposed to be temporary passes, which, oh my God, temporary passes.
Temporary tattoo passes?
Yeah. Oh, that's the best part is when they show it on Raiden, and it's so clearly just like a temporary tattoo. Mm-hmm. Like, it could not look. I was like, y'all couldn't just get somebody to draw that on him or something? Like, get an actual. it's just one little shot. You don't, I mean, but it's so clearly just a temporary, like a rub on, you know, tattoo. Yeah. Like you can see the texture of it is clearly like a, you know, just a temporary tattoo. And it's
maybe
like,
maybe he's just got bad skin.
Well, all right. Fair enough. So yeah, I have no idea why they, well, the thing that's even more like upsetting to me is the way that they, when the fighters die and the tattoo comes out of them, turns into a little dragon and comes out of them, that every time it's like the exact same little CGI animation,
yeah.
of a dragon flying towards the screen and doing a little roar and then turning into a ball and disappearing. It's just, what, why?
Very bizarre.
There's so that, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. This movie is so like baffling to me that it's not just that it's bad. It's that it's so just like, it's perplexing and just like, why did you guys do this? I'm really hoping that at some point I'll get to talk to some people who were involved in this movie in some capacity and try to get some answers. But
hopefully they have them.
Yeah, hopefully. Like I kind of have these like, I'm hoping that I'll be able to like find some of these people, you know, at like at conventions,
mm-hmm.
and like I'll know they're going to be at one and go and then just see if I can talk to them for a few minutes about, like, I just keep imagining that I'm going to, that I feel like I know that the guy that plays Shao Kahn has to do tons of conventions because he's just been in so much like sci-fi and like genre stuff. You know, he was in Buffy and, you know, he's been in a bunch of, you know, minor roles and a bunch of things. And it's just, he's like one of those guys that I imagine does a lot of conventions. And I just can like kind of imagine myself sitting with a microphone talking to him about this awful movie. So yeah, I don't know. I have no answer to that. What else?
Who is your favorite Mortal Kombat character?
In like the games or in this movie?
In general.
You know, I don't really know in the games. I think I probably played with Scorpion the most, but I liked playing with Raiden too. But in the movie, my favorite character is definitely Sonya Blade, because she is the only competent character in the entire movie. She is like the only character who seems to have, she has like a purpose. There's like a reason why she's, I mean, some of the other characters kind of have like a little bit of a reason for why they're doing what they're doing. But the movie starts, it seems like the movie, it seems like she's supposed to be the main character of the movie. And then like, because she's the one who has someone she cares about killed, you know, right at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, he just gets his neck snapped and that's it.
Yeah, it's so embarrassing. Like,
he didn't even try.
Just... And then, like, the way that he's hanging there as Shao Kahn has got his hands on his neck and he's just looking... He got hit once.
Yeah.
And it's like... And he just looks like he's completely, you know, like, cartoony out of it. Got, like... They should have just had, like, little birds and stars going around his head.
Oh, God.
But then, you know, Sonya has got a reason that she is wanting to keep fighting. And then in her fights... She is like the only one who just handles her fights, you know, in every other one. So like in her first fight, it's her versus a whole bunch of ninjas while Jax is supposed to be fighting Cyrax.
Mm-hmm.
And she is just, there's like a whole gang of ninjas or whatever you want to call them. I mean, because they clearly are, they're all kinds of different looks and, mm-hmm. you know, some of them seem to possess no fighting skills whatsoever. Some get completely defeated just by getting hit in the face with like a door or like a bedpan or whatever. And, you know, like one hit completely takes them out. And some have weapons and some don't, you know, some just seem to run at her face first, but there's like a whole big group of them that she's having to fight for a long time. And she beats all of them. No help, but then, while Jax is trying to fight Cyrax and basically getting his butt kicked the entire time. And then she's the one that comes in and finally helps Jax. She's the one who kills Cyrax. So she beat up all of those guys and then kills Cyrax. Then her next fight is against Melina.
In the mud pit.
Yeah, in the mud pit. And but in her in that fight, she just beats Melina, you know? And then Jack shows up to
fight that weird CGI thing.
To fight that stupid CGI monster that's in there for no reason. Yeah. You know, but I mean, but she had already beaten Melina. I mean, you know, and you look at it like then you look at Liu Kang's fights, and it's like who does he fight?
He fights Jade at first.
Yeah, he fights Jade for a second, and then, you know, it turns out it was like, oh, she's like, this is just a test, but then it was actually a trick. But, you know, but they just, they don't even really have a fight. You know, there's just like a little thing, and then she's like, ha, 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 you passed the test. But then he fights like, he fights, the first person he fights is Smoke.
Oh, yeah. Like the weird backflip over a missile.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary, weird wire work. Yeah. But he's fighting Smoke, but Sub-Zero comes in and saves him. Sub-Zero is the one who comes in and beats and freezes Smoke. And then he does absolutely nothing to Scorpion during the Scorpion Sub-Zero fight. He just stands there and watches. And then Katana gets taken. So he didn't win that fight. Sub-Zero came in and won it for him. Then, you know, he fights Jade and it's not really a fight. They just have like a little back and forth and then it's over. Then he fights those Barakas. But like most of that is just him, you know, there he knocks them off of something, but he doesn't really have much of a real fight with them. You know, and then it's finally just down to then at the end where he fights Shao Kahn. And, you know, I mean, I guess you could say he beat Shao Kahn, but it really just feels like he keeps being bad at things or being saved by other people. Or
yeah.
it just really seems like Sonya is supposed to be the person that we're most, you know, she seems to have the most kind of drive and the most reason to be, have a real burning desire to fight, to keep fighting, to defeat these bad guys. And then at the end, she just goes, leftovers are fine with me. And it's like, wasn't it just an hour ago where you said, if anyone's going to kill Shao Kahn, it's going to be you. And now you're fine with leftovers. That part seems like they were just like they had written the whole movie where Sonya is supposed to be the hero. And then they got to the end. We're like, oh wait, who's supposed to be the main character? Oh no. All right, here, have her just say this. Now Liu Kang, you fight him.
They have to show their animalities though. Uh-oh. It's like really bad PlayStation 2 graphics.
So hilariously, embarrassingly bad. Did you have any other questions before we do Twitter questions?
Nope, that was it.
Okay. all right, so let's see. Twitter user at John Hex Lives asks, was there any explanation as to why robots and cybernetics show up in the sequel to a magic fight tournament?
I actually know the answer to that.
Okay, let's hear it.
So Cyrax Smoke, and I'm not sure what the other one is. I think he's Red.
That's Ermac.
I don't think he was in it.
Oh, not the robot one, you mean. I was thinking of just the Red Scorpion Sub-Zero.
Oh, yeah, they're Shao Kahn's assassins, and they're supposed to lead an extermination squad for the invasion of Earth to kill Sonya and Jax.
Okay. And that's in the games?
That's actually in the movie.
Oh, okay. Well,
which is why they probably fought Cyrax in like the medical place.
Yeah,
they didn't do a very good job.
No, yeah, they failed pretty clearly. Why suddenly have robots? Why does a guy who is a ruler of a magical nether realm with centaurs and goros and, you know, reptile shape-changing people, why does he suddenly have robots?
I honestly don't know. Maybe he made them out of boredom.
Okay.
A hobby.
Twitter user at Fizz versus the World asks, what would your animality be?
I'd pick a wolf.
That's pretty good. But you can't be a wolf because
wolves already exist.
Yeah, so. you can't do one that someone has already got.
That's hard. There's so many characters. A small yappy dog.
Has anyone been an octopus? Anybody turned into an octopus?
I looked at the list last night because I was curious. I don't remember.
Okay. Everyone does have an animality though, right?
In the games? Some of them don't make sense. Like Scorpion turns into a penguin.
What?
Yeah.
Why would he turn into a penguin? What does he do?
I don't know. I've never actually seen it.
I've got to look that up. I've got to find that now. Surely there's video of that somewhere on YouTube that I can then post in the show notes. Wow. A penguin. That is truly bizarre. Were there any other like weird ones?
Raiden turns into an electric eel, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that. And I mean, in the game, Liu Kang does turn into a dragon, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that kind of weird looking, like, bodybuilder dragon that he turns into.
Yeah.
He does kind of turn into a dragon. Does Shao Kahn turn into a weird Hydra thing?
It doesn't look like he's on this list even.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I think, an octopus might be good. You wouldn't see that coming. And then I'd have like an arm or a tentacle grab each of the person's limbs.
Rip them apart.
And then their head. Yeah, and just pull, and you pull their arms and legs and head off all at once. Man, that sounds like a great animality.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I had not thought about that previously, so I'm proud of myself for coming up with that on the fly. Twitter user @ignorethe_robot, and this will be the last one, asked, who would win in a fight, stoic long hair Raiden or cool dad buzz cut Raiden?
I wish cool dad buzz cut could win, but he's mortal, so.
Yeah. He seems to be completely terrible at doing anything right.
He even dies.
So. Yeah, just completely. Well, and I love that how he dies is he's like, Shao Kahn, I've got to put a stop to the whatever. And then he just stands there and Shao Kahn shoots him. And that's the end.
Like, yeah, he takes a nap.
You died. I will say, though, I think I said this on one of the other episodes. I think I like James Remar better than Christopher Lambert as Raiden. I just feel like James Remar is trying harder. I mean, even though the movie's bad, I feel like he's really trying to act. I could be wrong, but
you could do better.
Maybe that's the feel I'm getting from kind of, I'm having like Stockholm syndrome trying to like go, no, these guys are not so bad.
They're okay.
I would have to think that Raiden, actually powerful, can accomplish and do things and seems like he's in some kind of control. Raiden from the first movie would completely kick the crap out of this Raiden in the second one, who's talking about how proud he is of people and family and...
Yeah, too bad your family's trying to kill you and sucks.
Talking about his brother's heart and just things like that. So I would have to say, I think we would agree that long-haired Raiden would win.
His outfit was cooler.
Also, I think his long-haired wig was looked a little better.
That's probably where all the budget went.
Yeah, just straight up into, let's get a really high-quality wig. See, and that's a question too I'd love to have, like, why did he get his hair cut? Why does he have to have, like, a completely different costume? I get that it's like supposed to be, oh, he's mortal now, but why is that even a thing? You know, there's that part where they ask where he's talking to the elder gods and they say, like, do you love them enough to sacrifice your immortality or whatever? And he's, you know, and obviously he says yes, but why? Like, why is that an aspect? Why do they ask him that? Why is that part of what's happening?
Yeah, I don't know what he gives up his powers for.
There's just so many things like that where you go, like, okay, I get that that happens because you need it to happen in the story, but why? Why did they even mention that? Raiden says something like at the very beginning when there's, you know, when Shao Kahn has shown up with all of his bad guys and then just leaves with them, except for all the, you know, ninjas. And Raiden's like, come on, we've got to go. This is a fight we cannot win here. And it's like, But, and so he's saying they've got to go somewhere else where he has no, you know, he says like he has no power in Outworld, which also doesn't make any sense to me. Which, I, you know, because I would assume that he's like, isn't that where they're all from? All the Elder Gods and Shao Kahns and Raidens and people with special powers, aren't they all from Outworld? I mean, maybe that's not the case, but that's sort of the feel I got from it. But then when he's like, you know, this is a fight we can't win here. And he's like, and I was just going, well, why not? These are just crappy ninjas. These are
Sonya can defeat all of them by herself. I'm sure they can take them.
You guys have all got special powers and stuff. And or just Raiden by himself should be able to just go, all right, zap you all with lightning. You're all dead. Or I can banish you all with my magical powers. Like, for someone who's supposed to be so powerful, he does so... this movie just is flummoxing.
Very poorly explained.
Yeah.
Hopefully your book has the answers we need.
I hope so. I don't think it's going to have the answers of like why the people making this movie decided to do X, Y, or Z. You know, like, well, we thought we needed a hamster ball because, you know, like we thought it would be cool to have them in a hamster ball.
Can they just use more portals? That would make more sense.
Exactly. Why not? Anyway. Well, Lynn, where can people find you on social media?
Twitter is probably the thing I use the most.
Okay. And your name on Twitter is?
Lintendo64.
Okay. I will put that in the show notes. And people should follow you on Instagram too, though, because you post a lot of cool art on there.
I'll still post on Twitter, so...
Oh, all right. Well, I guess I just see most of, I usually just see you saying things on Twitter and see your art on Instagram. But all right, Twitter it is. Everyone, go follow Lynn on Twitter for her neat art and her hot takes on what kind of foods she wants to put her face in.
You made it sound like I'm super creepy and weird. It was one time.
I don't know, but I feel like you're thinking that kind of thing all the time.
Yeah, but I don't post it online for obvious reasons now.
Yeah, you're going to have to go back and delete those tweets now.
I'm going to do like right now.
Well, Lynn, thank you for being here. Thank you for wanting me to spare myself the horrors that is this movie. Thank you for watching it with me anyway. I hope you had a good time.
I did. This is fun.
Okay. Maybe
try something new.
Yeah, exactly. This is your first time on a podcast?
Yeah, this is my first one.
See, you'd never know it. You sounded like you've done a million of these, except for the parts at the beginning that no one will hear.
Everything was falling apart.
Where everything fell apart, and you were like, I don't know what to do. My number one question is, what do I do? So thank you for being here. Guys, thank you for listening. Follow the show on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. Leave us a review on iTunes. Those kind of things help. Thank you to everybody that has already left one. Send us emails at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. I will get to answering your emails and Twitter questions and such in a future episode at some point, I promise. Thank you to people who have helped me with encouraging words on Twitter when it has felt like this movie was going to defeat me, or when real cool people were saying hurtful things. So
are you trying to say that I'm like that?
No. There was a thing that happened a week or two ago where there were some people that were basically kind of clowning on me, they weren't saying it at me. They were just saying it. And then I accidentally saw they were saying it in response to someone else who was talking to me. And they were kind of, basically, you know, they were kind of clowning on me and saying that I was a loser with too much free time.
Well, that sucks.
Well, you know, but I mean, you know, my response is, you know, you're the one who is talking about me.
Yeah, you're an internet troll. You get a life.
Well, you know, and somebody was like, I just can't. Somebody said, you know, like, I can't imagine having that much free time. And I was like,
An hour and a half.
Yeah, it's like not even an hour and a half. It's like you don't have an hour and a half in your day to do something you don't want to do. and it's not like I'm, you know, and it's not like I am doing this after I have done all the fun things that I want to do, or after I am It's like, I'm doing this after I have done all the work and, you know, all of my sort of
adult things.
Yeah. All of my sort of life and family and work responsibilities. And then I'm sacrificing doing something I would rather do, you know, something more fun to do this because, you know, because it's hard to do. It's a challenge I've set for myself. And, I'm not doing it in my free time. I'm doing it in my time that I would be doing something better in, you know, like, and I've had to like not do other things that I wanted to do instead, but, you know, it's also fine if they think it's dumb.
I'm sure they do dumb things too.
Yeah. But when I kind of said something about that online, a lot of people gave me, and people who I didn't even know were paying attention at all to the show. You know, there was a lot of people gave me a lot of nice feedback and encouragement, and that was super cool. So it ended up being a thing that, even though it kind of, you know, it was a little bit of a bummer at first, it kind of bummed me out. It ended up being like, I talked to some people who, you know, were giving me positive feedback who are going to end up being guests on the show, who are people that I otherwise probably never would have come into contact with. So, you know, ended up being a cool thing. So thank you to those haters. thanks for keeping up with my business enough to want to make fun of me about it. And hopefully maybe I'll have one of them on the show at some point.
Oh, that'd be entertaining.
it's all good. Just everyone, thank you so much for listening and for having my back, wanting to see me not be defeated by this movie or the haters. And I guess I'll just, you know, in the immortal words of Raiden, I'll say, remember, be there for one another. You're a family now. I think this may be the longest episode of this yet.
Sorry, I got you like super sidetracked.
Yeah, no, but it was great because, you know, now I'm getting to, you know, I am all for weird tangents that go all over the place. And I think that's what's fun about having these kind of odd forced conversations.
Yeah.